Cinema Classics is brought to you by the Gateway Film Center at the South Campus Gateway, 1550 North High Street. Further details online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows online at wcbe.org and like us on Facebook. I'm Johnny DiLoretto.
And I'm John DeSando, and this is Cinema Classics.
It is indeed, my friend.
Last week, Johnny.
That was really dramatic. That sounded almost like Bela Lugosi.
I like it. You've done other imitations this. I like it, yeah.
So last week we talked to Gateway Film Center's Jordan Hanalami about the summer movies coming out, the ones that he was excited about.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm looking at this document, this printed off sheet here. There are so many movies yet still to discuss that we should put on people's radar, I think.
I know.
What do you want to see?
I do want to see Before Midnight. But of course I want to see that. Julie Delpy and Ethan Hawke. Because talky. It's chatty,
you
right?
I like that.
I do.
Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy again?
Yes, again.
All right.
They're married now.
Haven't they made three movies like this now?
Yes, this is the third one of their...
Oh, my God. They should shut up. Maybe Terrence Malick can put them in a movie where they don't talk. Before Midnight, okay, Richard Linklater's follow-up to some of those chatty...
Yes.
You know,
yes,
they're strolling through Paris and loving each other. Okay.
On the other end, a caper movie that looks really interesting in concept to me.
Yeah.
Magic Act.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, Now You See Me, because that's what it is. Now You See Me.
No, it's not. I'm sorry, yeah. 3, 2, 1. But I'm kind of interested in a new take on magic, and this would be Now You See Me.
Not only is it a new take on magic, it's a new take on the heist movie.
Yeah!
Yeah, this looks really good, like a little surprise caper movie.
Yes.
With Mark Ruffalo, Jesse Eisenberg, it's all-star cast, Morgan Freeman, I mean, it could go on and on. But it does, it looks like they're putting on some sort of Vegas-style magic act show, and then running cons...
Yeah.
Throughout the performance of the show.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
And they're going to be giving money back to the audience. I don't think that's known from the from the early part.
Yes, but anyway, one of those surprises that
surprise
are revealed in the trailer.
Here's another take that I find interesting.
Yeah.
And this would be a whole bunch of young actor comedians playing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This is the end. Seth Rogen co-directing,
okay,
and appearing with Franco and Watson and Rudd and Siegel. And
if it's good, let me know. I'm not interested.
All right.
Here's the other thing.
What do you want to see?
Well, okay, you know what I really want to see?
Yes.
What I really want to see
is... again, these are all in June.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see Man of Steel.
Ah.
The last trailer that they released really strikes the right tone for me.
Okay.
Kind of... somewhat reverential to the, you know, to the iconography and the mood of the 1978 Superman, but then updating it with a sort of a darker Christopher Nolan-esque feel.
Sure.
I am totally sold on that movie.
Okay.
It, you know, just looks great.
Even with Russell Crowe as his...
As Kal-El. No, I'm sorry. 3, 2. As Jor-El.
Yes.
Taking over Brando's mantle. Yeah, and you know why? Because the little speech that he delivers... is very much what Brando says in the first movie. And and that just hits me right in my nerd gut right there. I love that stuff. I'm also looking forward to, despite early reports that it's bad, World War Z.
I know.
Brad Pitt. Now, you know, it's based on a novel that is really significantly different. You know, the novel is very... it's told in piecemeal sort of like news report style.
Okay.
That's what I understand. I haven't read it. But this is obviously takes a more straightforward narrative approach where Brad Pitt is traveling around the world trying to figure out this zombie crisis.
Yeah.
The problem for me, John, is that this is rated PG-13. And I don't know how you can have an effective zombie movie with no blood, no gore, no face munching, no neck tearing. No evisceration. You know what I mean? Like, really, that's the beauty of a zombie movie is the over-the-top, you know, ridiculous gore.
Maybe you can get a PG-13 by relying on all the baggage that comes with it. In the lore, there are so many zombie movies out there that people
I would think you would need a master director like a Polanski or somebody to really get at, you know, if you're not going to show that stuff up front, to really get at the heart of what
got it.
That kind of...
Well, I'm skeptical.
Pandemic would mean.
I'm skeptical because I know that Brad Pitt was a producer. He had to step in as star. I'm a little bit worried about that. But anyway, we'll see.
Could be interesting.
Right. But how can you go wrong with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy?
You could go really wrong.
I'm sure
he could go wrong.
A movie called The Heat.
Right. I don't know. You know what would be more interesting? Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy remaking De Niro and Pacino's Heat.
All right.
Now, I would see that. All right. Now I would be
yeah,
in.
Yeah, you would.
Okay.
And the fourth movie, I think, this year about kidnapping the president, White House Down.
Yeah, right.
And who better than Roland Emmerich to create chaos?
He's returning. The prodigal son returns to the White House to destroy it again.
Now, July.
July.
Do we settle down and get serious?
You know what? I was
July?
Very excited to hear that they were redoing The Lone Ranger.
Well, heck yes.
Right? And then I saw the trailer. And now, if I see Johnny Depp in white skin makeup, like that pale white makeup again, I'm going to puke on somebody.
Somebody who saw the trailer with me turned to me and said, they couldn't find a Native American to do
right.
this?
Well, I think he believes he's Native American. I do. I think he believes that. He is part Native American and so is justified in playing that role.
Oh, really? Okay.
And he wanted to give, you know, early on when I was reading about the production of this movie, that he wanted to take on that role because he wanted to play it more dignified. He wanted to give Tonto a more prominent
it
role.
Look dignified.
No,
in the
of course
to
not.
Me.
He looks asinine. He looks ridiculous.
And he gets top billing.
And he's making
Tonto.
He's making a mockery of. I know that could have been a great reimagining of that story, but it looks like more Disney-fied excrement.
Well, I know I'm going to have to exercise my critical chops and be objective when I see Grown Ups 2. Oh, my
brother.
Gosh. With Adam Sandler, Kevin James, Chris Rock, and David Spade. Oh, do I have
How
to do
How will we mash the Grown Ups 2 in with The Heat and skip both?
Or see the Hot Flashes.
Now, here... Yeah, right, exactly.
Look at
the Hot Flashes. Yeah.
Really? With Brooke Shields, Wanda Sykes, Virginia Madsen, Daryl Hannah with a basketball team? Yeah. Susan Seidelman, the Desperately Seeking Susan. Anyway,
right.
What are you thinking about?
What am I thinking about? I can't stop thinking about Only God Forgives.
Oh.
Ryan Gosling recently turned up in another great performance in A Place Beyond the Pines.
Yes, indeed.
Which was... the director of Blue Valentine's follow-up movie with Gosling. And here, he is reteaming with Nicholas Winding Refn, the director of Drive. Remember that movie,
I
loved so much?
Gosling.
So it's their reteaming movie. And in this, a Bangkok crime lord, Gosling, I think, enters the world of Thai boxing
Correct.
To get revenge on the guy who killed his brother or something like that. But it looks equally... just mood immersed,
right.
sort of a smash up between 70s character study and 80s action, martial arts action. Looks great. And I mean, you know, Gosling is just on this crazy roll right now. He's eminently watchable. His techniques are terrific. I mean, maybe they'll get tiresome at some point, but not yet.
Haven't you heard that he's going to give up for a while?
No, I don't believe that.
Okay. Well, I know that... both of us will be looking forward at the end of July to Woody Allen's Blue Jasmine.
I don't know that I'll be looking forward to it.
Why
I mean,
you
I,
don't like Alec Baldwin?
I love Alec Baldwin. I love Cate Blanchett. Woody Allen at this point, I told you before, Midnight in Paris was this surprise gift, this sort of late era Woody Allen gift to the true fans of his earlier work.
It's
like
always...
myself. But I mean, I cannot get excited about this stuff, John, unless you go see it and tell me, oh my God.
Well, look it. It's always a lottery with Woody, particularly in his older years. And
well,
Midnight in Paris,
especially
won.
In his old right,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
So
that's exactly it. Midnight in Paris was like playing the lottery ticket for the last 15 years, and then finally
you get
one.
That's right. Yeah.
I have no hope for it.
But we know that many of our fellow moviegoers will be going to see Wolverine.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, I'm excited about it. I know that not just because I love these, you know, superhero movies, but I just root for Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
I'm always rooting for that guy.
And he's very good at it. You're right.
He's good. He's like, he just always gives his all to his performances. He gives just as much to his performance as Wolverine as he does in any other movie.
That's right.
You know, he really, I think, takes pride in being the guy. And so I hope that they successfully reboot his franchise there. I think that's cool.
So as we slip into August, two guys who teamed together a while ago are ones I'm looking forward to again together in a movie called Two Guns.
Yeah, Denzel and Mark Wahlberg. Yeah. Looks good. I thought the trailer was really amusing. You know, it could be a great buddy movie. They seem to have terrific chemistry.
And I was surprised last time how comic Wahlberg can be.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was good. But
most recently, having flopped being comic in Pain and Gain.
Ouch. Well,
our pain, his gain, right?
But here's a movie that you couldn't care about, but that I'm going to because it's something from my past.
Oh, let me guess. You must be looking at Lovelace.
The story of
70s porn.
The story of Deep Throat's Linda Lovelace.
Wow.
And so I am really looking forward to seeing that biopic.
That will be interesting. I'm not sure.
But Paul Rudd and Emil Hirsch, two really good actors today, are going to be together in Prince Avalanche. The two guys in Texas who are painting stripped on a highway who get to know each other.
So it looks painting lines on a highway.
Yes.
That could just be brilliant enough to work.
I know it. You know, obviously, they'll be talking all the time and getting to know each other. So
I believe Paul Rudd can pull that off. I don't know about Emil Hirsch,
yeah,
but we'll see.
Yeah, right, exactly. Good
point. All
right,
that brings us to the end. So I think that effectively, I think we've covered a lot of summer ground there.
We've left some out, but these are ones that we think most everybody's going to be aware of.
If anybody sees something that we should be talking about, let us know, right? You can email us or follow us on Facebook and...
Great idea.
Comment.
So for that listener out there, make sure you pay attention.
Listen up, guy.